listening to Racing Nation on Radio Aerie.
God damn it, an entire generation pumping gas, waiting tables, slaves with white collars. Advertising has us chasing cars and clothes, working jobs we hate so we can buy shit we don't need. We're the middle children of history, man. No purpose or place. We have no great war, no great depression. Our great war is a spiritual war. Our great depression is our lives. We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars, but we won't. We're slowly learning that fact, and we're very, very pissed off.
I live my life of ideology. I pride myself on racial loyalty. Without these things, I'd have no identity. I reject multi-racial obscurity. White national socialist, proud to be, and you could be a white national socialist. With honor and loyalty. White national socialist, proud to be, and you could be a white national socialist. With honor and loyalty. I separate myself from this society. I don't need their filth or their sociology. Reject their plans of state indoctrination free. I make my claim, this is my country. White national socialist, proud to be, and you could be a white national socialist with honor and loyalty. Socialist, proud to be, and you could be a white national socialist with honor and loyalty.
Slava comrades, it is September 5th, 2017, and you are listening to Racing Nation on RadioAryan.com. This is your lordship, Lord of the Northern Realm, Lord Goyhammer. And with me, as always, my comrade in the trenches and my brother in fight, Sir Stephen Lanzer. Also tonight with us from the New England area is Julia, and she was nice enough to come on the show to talk about her transition from basically liberalism to one form of another of National Socialism. Does that sound about right?
That sounds about right, yep.
Awesome.
And I wanted to just give a quick update on
Julia's little travels here. We originally had scheduled her to be on the show a couple weeks ago, and for whatever reason, we just had to keep pushing it back. And in that amount of time, I've been in pretty constant contact with Julia. So she's gone from like somebody we really kind of didn't know very well, possibly being on the show, to what I consider a pretty good comrade to the Racing Nation podcast. So thank you for joining us and welcome to the Racing Nation family, Julia.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here, and it's nice to do something other than be on social media, getting the message out, and doing it vocally, I guess.
Yeah.
Hey, go ahead.
You,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you always jump in there, but you know what? I just wanted to say social networking does suck, and I hate it. And you know what also is really great to do is read. And speaking of reading, I actually like the name Julia because every time I think of that name, there's a specific book that I've read at least four or five times. The woman in that book, her name is Julia, and her boyfriend's name is goes by the name of Zach Hatfield, and he's this badass company commander who commands a group of insurgents in northwestern Oregon, and they kind of hand Zog his ass throughout the book, and that name reminds me of that book every damn time.
What book was that again?
That book would be the Brigade.
No.
Yeah, you have that book and you haven't
read it. I haven't read it yet. No.
You haven't read that book by chance, Julia, have you?
No, I haven't.
Okay, that's all right. No. I mean, there's a lot of people that haven't.
Check it out.
It's
on my list.
Yeah, it's a book by Harold Covington, and we follow a lot of his books and ideologies. And he's head of the Northwest Front, more or less, which is more or less the Butler Initiative. And we've done tons of shows on the Butler Initiative.
I was kind of being a smart ass about it.
I know. Well, you know, anytime you can squeeze in the Northwest Front, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I have to squeeze in my little fanboy shit right there. So.
So anyways,
I'll add it to the list anyway.
There you go. Yeah, right. That's a good one.
So Julia's travels. I mean, as far as her back history goes, did you want to go into like your past a bit? I mean, not being too personal, obviously, you know, names and dates and all that jazz, but
yeah.
Like how you got to from your beginning to how you ended up stumbling across NS ideologies.
Well, it was a slow process from starting to realize what was going on in the left to actually being vocal about it and not caring anymore what my family and my friends thought of me. I started out conservative, but I think throughout my late 20s and 30s, I somewhere along the line got to the left. And I think a lot of it had to do, I got sucked up in the Barack Obama, 2008, change, and everything was going to be better. And I think a few years after that, too, I became pregnant with our last child. And I had a lot of time on my hands when I stopped working. And I started independently researching World War II. A couple years into that, I started asking myself, why did Hitler hate the Jews? You know, I mean, there's got to be a reason. And that's when I stopped reading the Victor's account and started getting the real version. That's when I think probably along that time I fell into The Greatest Story Never Told. And through that documentary and just the things that I saw going on around me, it was almost like the two came together, and I just really started seeing things for what they were. For instance, feminism. I didn't understand why some feminists fought for some women, but not all. You know, you never hear feminists talking about the women in Europe being raped by
refugees.
No, it's all right.
Rape-ugees.
We got it.
Yes, you got Rape-ugees. You got okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good. But it just didn't make sense to me, and I was asking these questions, and I never got any answers.
Which is classic.
A lot of hypocrisy. But I never considered myself a feminist. Basically, I wanted, in my mind, everybody just, you know, peace, love, and happiness, because that's what I thought was the way of the left. I thought when I was in the left that we were about, you know, all people. And I started to see that it wasn't about all people. It's only for them. It's only for minorities. There was no room for me. I felt like a pawn. I would ask myself, I'd look around and see these people, a lot of white people, marching for BLM. And I'd ask myself, you know, would these people ever march for whites? To see that whites were always there marching for everybody else, doing for everybody else. But nobody's ever there marching for us. You know, they're always there to take, but they're never there to give.
No, I totally think I totally understand where you're coming from. Like, whites are totally always in the position of helping the minorities. You know, we don't need them. They fucking need us. And that's always been the issue, I think. And I think that's exactly where you're coming from. I mean, and I think it's a lot of like white guilted liberals that fall into this, especially on the white side where they've been programmed. I mean, some of them aren't. I mean, some of them are like totally Marxist fucking Jews and they're totally fine and integrated themselves into systems and policies and politics where they push whites in corners. But you have a lot of fucking self-ridden whites out there. My mother's one of them. Who literally will, you know, will happily, you know, think that, oh, you know, blacks have it bad and they need this and this and that and all the flood victims and all the poor blacks in Houston and New Orleans.
I was one of those. Right. I was one of those. And that's what I used to preach. I can tell you, I didn't march and I didn't, you know, I never considered myself to be a BLMer, but I would do things to go out of my way to prove that I wasn't a racist. This is going to sound really ridiculous. I would go into a store, and if it was between, you know, say it was me and a black person trying to get through the door, immediately I'm backing off. I always felt like in my life over those years, whenever I was in any kind of situation that had to do with a black, a Hispanic, it didn't matter if they weren't white, I was backing off to prove that I'm not the racist that I know you think I am. But the funny thing is, and I'm not sure how to really word this, I can tell you right now that most people on the left are quote unquote racist. I'm using their word. And I absolutely was one of them. I mean, you know, I'd prove how I didn't have white. I didn't want my white privilege in public, but I'd come home and drop N-bombs. You know, I mean, the whole it's very hypocritical on the left, extremely hypocritical. And I don't think it's funny because everybody goes based on what they see on the news, you know, and nobody wants to admit things like, you know, hey, I marched with BLM and, you know, came home and called my dog a nigger and kicked him across the kitchen. You know, I mean, right. Nobody wants to admit that.
I was just going to say real quick, too. Also, I think a lot of it, and it's not just you, it's probably most of white liberals. We have this natural instinct to be kind and caring and considerate.
It's true.
But then this liberalism is kind of like a genetically modified, unnatural like pressure on you, you know,
but it causes you also to hate yourself to an extent. I mean, to me, it because there's so many outlets to this to get to people. Because what does it say when I'm giving, you know, a person of color the right to go in front of me, but when I hear that, you know, my sons who are going to grow up to be white men someday are the poster face of what your problem is, how do I sit here and not say anything to that? And I go home and it just over time, I think that can really affect somebody. I mean, just not standing up for who you are, your own race, your own children. It's kind of strange where I live now because I live in a predominantly white town and it's beautiful. But the problem is everything shuts down at a fairly early hour. And to go shopping, I have to go to the town next to me, which is about, I don't know, 5-7 minutes away, and it's Nigger Central. And that's where I have to go do my grocery shopping. I mean, if I want to stay within my area. Obviously I can go to, you know, to another town over, but it's rotten because the people in that town, they come to my town to commit crimes. They just found two kids who came from that town to my town. They were breaking into cars from that town. Somebody murdered a dog and then threw it in our lake in our town, you know. So I have concerns about, you know, my own children growing. It's almost like well, where do you go? You live in a white town, but they're around you everywhere. This liberalism, minorities, whatever. There's nowhere to go to get away from it. And I think that's what's most frustrating. I think a lot changed for me, too, coming away from the left because I have children. You know, I think it's so funny watching these 20-year-olds, honestly, because I look at them and I'm like, you know, that was me. And you're probably not going to believe anything you believe today. You're not going to believe that in 20 years. Pop out a few kids and let's have your daughter come home with a Muslim man and let's see how you react.
Mm-hmm.
And everything will change. Because that's when it does change, is when it comes to somebody's door, their front door. Yeah. And that's finally when I had enough, and I just was vocal about it on social media. I mean, people really, they did a head turn. They couldn't believe that I was coming out with some of the stuff that I was coming out with. But, you know, for instance, my gym decided that transgender, I'm not even sure how to word this, basically a man who wants to look pretty for a day can go use a locker room with me
in my
you know. And that was the last straw, and I, you know, fuck this, had enough.
how did your family, my family is pretty much engrossed in my ideology and they pretty much despise it, except for my father pretty much. But how does your family know about your ideology and your stance, and what's their reaction to it?
Yeah, so, do they know about your transition?
Yes. So it's, my dad was always on the right. I guess my dad, you could say he's a libertarian. And it's funny because I think I had said this to Stephen. Rebel Media, after Rebel Media came out with a video. And I guess my dad ended up seeing it. And he ends up texting me and he goes, "Watch this. You know the left is to blame for all of that happened down there, right?" And I couldn't believe it. And I thought, well, maybe Rebel Media does serve some kind of good. Because yeah, right. I think it's just an outlet that it spoke to him and he got it. And my dad and I, we every get together, we have deep, deep political conversations and we agree on everything. The only thing that he never really wants to hear about is when I bring up the Jewish question, and he just kind of, you know, he'll say things to me like, "Yeah, shut up with that Hitler shit. I don't want to hear it." Mm-hmm. But then he'll keep going along basically with everything else I'm saying about it without him, you know, he's not actually going to come out. So, and my mother lives in Europe and she's been there for 15 years. And things, she has watched Europe change over time. So I hear firsthand what she's going through, what my family members are going through. I'll say she lives in Italy, and she, you know, 15 years ago, because it's Italy, every school had a crucifix.
You're right.
In every classroom, and now they are all down, and the Muslims want, you know, Allah, and everything's changing so fast. They're just waiting for something bad to happen. Why we never prevent anything, you know?
Yeah, we always react. You know, we don't ever prevent, and I always tell people, and I don't know if I get yelled at. I get told on the sidebar a lot, like, you know, you don't really know, you know, you're not there. Well, I have family in England, and I'm telling you, Europe's pretty fucked. I mean, they're not South Africa fucked, but they're pretty fucked. I mean, let's just get that out there. I mean,
stopping it from not being South Africa fucked, really. I mean,
machetes. machetes. I mean, lots and lots of machetes. I mean, I'm reading reports all the time about caches of weapons being, you know, stumbled upon by some government Euro agency, which is probably just propaganda shit anyways. And it's like, okay. I mean, dude, if you don't realize that Europe's pretty much in the fucking toilet, then you're not paying attention because they're pretty fucked. I mean, yeah. The fact that they don't have an armed citizenry at all, and on top of that, the fact that they are part of the EU collective, and on top of the fact that they're being bombarded by, you know, immigrants left and right, then yeah, I mean,
we have an armed citizenry, and we don't use our guns, so I really don't. That part of it kind of
okay. Yeah, we don't use our guns, but we have.
I'm splitting hairs, which is so shut up.
Okay, all right.
No one's going to use them anyways, or most of them won't. And then, you know what? I remember saying once.
I'll see you at the fucking Rahoa. We'll see who's not using their guns.
I didn't say you wouldn't.
Oh, okay. All right.
I said most people.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, especially with football start, no one's even going to, they're not going to touch their guns until, I don't know, what, when's the Super Bowl done? February or something?
Packers! Yeah. Fucking God.
And then I think I heard someone else say it, or I read it somewhere, but when you guys were talking to Europe, it just popped in my head again. But if you realize, do you realize we are the only people who actually provide an armed escort to our conquerors?
Yeah.
We bring them in under arms to conquer us. Nobody else on this planet does that.
Yep.
But us. That's liberalism. It's always great to hear someone breaking out of that, because also, like you said before too, and it's very common, you're heavily pressured by white guilt and self-hatred. And it's great that you actually saw through it. And I hate to throw around the word like courage and stuff, but I mean, it kind of is in a way to break out of that. And then, and come on shows like this and talk about it. I mean, that's great.
But the thing to me is I was always curious. On the left, people are supposed to be open-minded, free thinkers, and that's what I was. That's what I am. That's how I got here. It just shows to me that the people on the left are so closed-minded. I mean, you're supposed to be free thinkers, and they don't want to hear anything at all.
Specific thinkers. They have to agree with what you're saying. Otherwise, they're just evil.
But I have to believe that there are people on the left now, and there has to be, who are how I was, who are maybe starting to come away from the left, starting to look into what's wrong with the left and liberalism. And I know when I was on the left, what did not work for me was yelling, shouting, anger, hatred. And that's kind of where I have a problem with the alt-right was, I'll say, good for me in a way, because it kind of was this opening to look into National Socialism. Because I wasn't going to look into the KKK or, you know, that I just wasn't going to go there to look for information on my own. So the alt-right was, you know, it's in everybody's face. The problem is, though, it's just kind of, while I agree with a lot of the stuff that they stand for.
You know what they do, Julia, is the alt-right does a lot of flirting and mm-hmm. joking about national socialism and a lot of time in a positive way, but that
it should just be a passing through kind of genre.
Yes.
I think just, you know, keep it moving. Nothing to say, keep going.
They seem to do it in a way that's definitely interesting enough to people like you who latched on or come through the alt-right, where national socialism or socialism, it sounds fine or it's very interesting or something, to where you will look into it even more.
Right. That's what I was going to say. It piques the interest of certain people.
Exactly.
And a lot of those people are going to end up fence sitters. But the people like Julia and Paige and some of the other people that we've run into, they're going to dig for a deeper, more solid answer. They're going to sit there and say, okay, libertarianism is bullshit. That's basically, you're basically a GOP piece of crap. John McCain, flag waving, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's the people like Julia who sit there and say, okay, I've gone from all the way over here, and I'm trying to find my travels over all the way over here, and I'm still not satisfied under libertarianism. And they keep digging and keep digging, and bam, they finally end up in NS circles. Those are the people I care about. Those that I'm not trying to red pill people on Twitter. I'm not sitting there, you know, trying to, you know, have arguments with people, though I often do, you know, with people who are trying to, like, you know, case on, you know, alt right versus national. I'm not interested in that. But I'm interested in providing an avenue for people like Julia to say, okay, I have found my way to national socialism. This is where I belong. And that's awesome. I mean, we've definitely gotten some spillover from the alt-right, and I think that is the positive outlet result of the alt-right. Yeah. And I hope that more people like yourself do find their ways into more NS circles. That is a great avenue. I am totally appreciative of the alt-right for providing that kind of bridge. And it's smart people like yourself, Julia, who sit there and realize this. When you have a family, when you have children that you sit up at night, worry and fret over, like I've done, night after night, night after night, what are we going to do? What's our game plan? What's our exit plan? What are we going to do? Rahoa's coming, blah, 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 whatever. We've been through all this shit day and night. When you're sitting there at night worrying and wrenching your hands, what are you going to do? You start finding answers. And they're not politically correct answers that you've ever thought about possibly even considering. Like, you know, you're busting open copies of Mein Kampf. You're reading about Adolf Hitler. You're reading about the Reich. And then you realize, boom, everything you've been taught is a bullshit lie. Everything you've been told is a bullshit lie. And people like your father, and I have people in my family as well, that libertarian kind of view on stuff, they're never going to get there. They're never going to get there because they're settled in their ways. They're set in their ways, and they're just never going to get there. But when you're people like me and you, Julia, who have children, and they're growing up in this world, we have to make a decision. What are we going to do? What is the truth? And we have put our money and our mouths and our beliefs and our hearts into this movement. And I welcome you with open arms, whether you're liberal or you were part of BLM or whatever 5 years ago. To me, it doesn't matter. If you've cast your chips in and you have found your way into National Socialism, I don't care. That's the difference between this show, me and LG, and a lot of other people. But if it gets people from left to right, I'm all for it.
But liberalism is full of hypocrisy, and it didn't feel right to me. Some of it felt right to me, but it just—I don't know. When I sense hypocrisy, I'm basically all done. I've always been that way. It's unfortunate. It took this long for me to open my eyes, but I'm glad I did. While my kids are still young. I don't want to be in a position where I have to react to something. I feel prepared, and I feel like my family's prepared too.
it also dips heavy into the Democratic circles, which I fucking can't stand. I mean, to me, I'm just like, whatever. I mean, I basically had to beg LG to vote for Trump. He's like, I'm not voting. I'm like, come on, man. Just
I was done voting, man.
I know, dude. I agree with you. I'm just like,
I didn't vote.
Wow, that's amazing that you're a liberal that you didn't vote, because there's not a liberal I haven't
really. You didn't vote like 10 times, Julia?
No, I didn't. I voted for? No, I did not vote. I did not vote. No, I Good. The last person I voted for, should I tell you?
Is Al Gore.
Sure, go ahead.
Go back farther. Bob Dole.
Oh, wow, that's
that might have been the first time that I could vote, and then that was it. I never believed in the system enough to vote. I guess I should say, you know, when I was 18, that was just, you know, supposed to vote, so I voted Republican. But I never believed, I guess, in America enough to vote for the system, or
I don't know how.
There you go, liberal hypocrisy.
Yeah.
I'm sure I walked around and told everybody that I voted too. Of course I did.
I think most people on the left and right just flat out, they're extremely afraid of change. They're extremely afraid to change their current lifestyles, you know, jobs,
right,
recreation, sports, you know, everything, drinking beer, little league, volleyball leagues, you know, they don't want none of that to stop, and none of it's gonna, you know, and nothing's gonna change, right, unless you sacrifice or risk anything, you know.
Well, it's that, just, and like I said, that's what,
that's, you know, democracy.
And that's what I'm saying. That's democracy. And that's, and yep, it's a no win for whites. Democracy is a no win for whites. I've been saying that since I'm blue in the face. Nobody's listening, and that's fine. Whatever. All I'm saying is
because
that
there's nothing that they can offer us.
No, right. They're right. Well, they don't. they also want our demise. They also want our demise. They're basically asking permission from a system that wants to kill you. That's the point I don't understand. It wouldn't surprise me if Richard Spencer, literally like 6 months from now, and like Harold Covington says, and I hate to steal his shit, but I'm going to, would like run for Texas Congress. That wouldn't surprise me. And he probably would win it. But who gives a shit? He's just another fucking Ryan. He's just another McCain. Once you get integrated into the Democratic bullshit system, it doesn't fucking make a difference. And that's the whole thing I'm really getting tired of hearing about Trump. Yeah. It's like he's not the bastion saint of, you know, whites. He's just not, he never was. He's never going to be. Stop treating him like he's not going to get you. He was a small window of opportunity for our guests to get our shit together. But that window was shut quick by the Jew. Shut quick.
His cabinet is full of Jews.
Right. So you might as well forget about Trump and the Democratic circles. And until we really can separate ourselves from that. And there's other NS podcasts that I'm aware of that are really delve deep into the Trumpism and the alt-rightism and all that. I'm sorry. When you're dabbling and diving and playing in Democratic circles, it's a no win for whites. So then I get asked a lot on like Twitter and whatnot. So what do you suggest? I don't know. I suggest in PLEs. I suggest in the Northwest Front. I suggest in going to UP. I suggest in just communally building and just fucking pissing off and trying to collectively collect as whites. Fuck democracy, dude. It's never going to pan out for you ever. Ever. It was great when it was like when it started, but whatever, between now and then,
it was great in the 17 and the early 1800s and we had a homogenous freaking country. Then it worked okay, right, you know, on top of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and shit.
And I'm not going to get into whole bullshit Mason fucking jury
that's
shit
boring, dude.
All I'm saying, bro, I'm not going to get on that, but I'm saying is democracy 2017 dead end for whites till we can really start having a conversation about where whites are and how whites are going to survive. I'm tuning out. I don't really give a shit. I don't give a fuck about your politics. I don't give a shit about Trump, to be honest. I mean, I'm glad he got in versus Hillary, but whoopty scoopy doo. I mean, really, what has that really bought us other than a small window and that's been shut?
Well, what I'm afraid of is that this is going to catapult us into a whole heap of liberalism come 2020.
Exactly. That's what I'm worried about, too.
I'm scared to death, and I'm almost positive that's what's going to happen.
Right. And I've brought that up on occasion where we're going to burn for Trump's sins. As white people collectively, we're going to burn for Trump's sins.
Yes.
So more hate against us, more, you know.
They're saying he might not even run. He might say, I'm not running for a second term, which wouldn't surprise me because,
no,
you know, he's probably not going to win a second term and he's not going to set himself up to lose. So I'm almost positive this is, you know, going to catapult us right into a hole.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a shit situation. I don't think people even realize that yet. I don't think even.
No, I don't think so either. Four years goes fast. I mean, exactly. Now we're already basically in 2018. They're already campaigning for 2020. Basically, it's already planned, you know. So, 4 years goes by fast.
Do you really think there's not going to be a backlash from us voting for Trump? Please. Yeah, it's going to be bad.
I want my reparations.
Oh, man.
You guys are all jumping on like Donald Trump's penis float there for a second.
I just took a knife in that bitch.
RNN has replaced all music in my earbuds at the gym. I read the International Jew on the treadmill, and then I lift weights to RNN. Yeah. Sweet.
Hey, speaking of books, I'm not going to go into too long, Lancer Boy, because I know you get bored when we start talking about books. But since she's so impressionable And you already started off with the greatest story never told and the international Jew. Have you ever heard of Cornelius Codrianu? He was the leader of the Iron Guard in Romania. Have you ever heard of that book?
No.
That's a really good one for, like, I don't know. I don't want to, like, insult you and call you, like, I was going to say newbie. I don't want to call you that, though. I couldn't think of what the... No, because these were books that, like, hit me like a ton of bricks. That's the only reason why I bring it up. And then I don't know if you're religious or not, but then there's two books by a guy named Ben Klassen. And he's not like anti-Christian in a way, like in like a evil satanic way. He's just more of a natural law type dude. But
yeah,
he
no,
does.
I'm not religious.
Okay. He's got two books. One is called The White Man's Bible.
That's a good one.
The White Man's Bible and Nature's Eternal Religion. And you know, and on top of like Mein Kampf, all those books, they drop on you like a ton of bricks. They just hit you. And it's like, I can't see anyone who actually sits down and reads those ever going back to democracy. You know, you're not going to look at reality. I almost feel bad because it's like it is just like that stupid ass pill analogy from The Matrix. You know, never. You take that, you read those books, you will never, you know, you'll never live that life of ignorance, I guess, for lack of a better term, you know, of reality. You're going to see everything and you're going to know all the problems of the world. And then it just, you know, you basically carry those problems because you can't, you just, a lot of times it just, you can't stop thinking of it.
That's what The Greatest Story Never Told did for me. And my brother, too. He finished, I think, all 29 parts in like 2.5 days. He just couldn't stop.
Jeez.
And I just remember just picking my jaw up off the floor, because this wasn't just somebody telling you this like they do in school. There was actual proof and dates and documents. And I don't know. My brain, I always say my brain's like a sponge. I read a lot and I want to just soak up everything I can. This genre of politics, but that's not what I mean. But there's just so much to learn and read, and I'm excited because it feels like I've barely scratched the surface. It just seems like there's so many layers, and it all leads up to what's going on today.
I totally feel like that too. And like, I often like tell the kids, like, you know, I show them like basic principles and examples. Like I'll show them like roads in Milwaukee and like how the streets are paved and how shitty they are. And then I'll break open these Hoffman books that I have that I bring up on the show quite a bit about, all, you know, the Reich during the 30s, you know, the 20s and 30s. And there's these street views of Berlin and how perfect and clean everything is, and you know, and how orderly everything was and how pure it was, you know. And I show them the examples, like, here, this is what you're living in now, but this is basically like a white ethno state. This is a white ethno state, and the only one in our, you know, recorded history that I can, you know, show you physical pictures and examples of. And it is actually a good learning thing to show. I mean, people do absorb the books and the history, and it does, like LG said, it does hit you like, you know, kind of like a ton of bricks. You know, I try to start with like more obvious picture type stuff with the younger kids, but the older kids, I have them read some of the heavier stuff. And because it's important, it's an important truth that they need to know, because they're not going to obviously learning on their own. And I think that's a big difference too between like our generation, and I'm in my mid 40s, and like the new kids that are coming up, and these millennials that are learning about National Socialism off of memes and websites and bullshit. It's a completely different upbringing. And I'm trying to bring up my kids to where like there's a better solution, there's a better answer, and your answer is always found in your own kith and kin. Not mm-hmm. what you're being told and what you're being taught. But yeah, I mean, anybody who can, I mean, The Greatest Story Never Told is a fantastic documentary. The books that LG referenced is also good. I currently have a I'm actually looking at it right now. I actually have a care package going out to Julia right now because she has impressed me so much last couple weeks. She actually brought up the David Lane book that we had touched base on, Defiant Unto Death.
Oh, yeah, dude, that's another
one,
man.
That is on my list. Yes.
Yep,
yeah,
I got. I'm sending her a copy of that and some other stuff. So
all right.
We'll see what we can. Yeah, no, right?
Yeah.
It's like you just wedge yourself all in there.
and obviously, Julie, I mean, there's probably thousands of great books, but these in no way, shape, or form are like standard quality. Now, these are the best of the best, but I found them to be somewhat easy to read and understand. Yeah, but some of the books like on Jews might be a little
Well, she's already reading International.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Have you heard the protocols of the learner?
Oh yeah. And I've thumbed through them, and that seems a little like that would take me a while to read. Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Right. Yeah, I know what
There's
you mean.
There's different kind of levels, yeah.
You right, wouldn't want to be uninterrupted and devote a good hour or two into reading it slow. Yeah.
Oh, you know, a good website I found, if you think of it, I was searching up on books. And I actually reached out to our buddy Covington, and this is one of the questions I got stiffed on, like many other ones. But I found a website called The Barnes Review. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's a really good site, actually, from what I could tell. And they have a really great selection of books, too. It's called The Barnes Review.
I'll have to check that out.
Barnes?
Yeah, like
B-A-R-N-E-S. N-E-S, okay.
Yeah, review. And it's a real easy site to navigate. And it looks like all the books that they carry are the, like, real deal, like, the best versions of that subject, you know?
Right.
So.
She sent me a text the other day. Julia sent me a text the other day, and she picked up George Lincoln Rockwell book from, of all places, Barnes & Noble's.
Yeah, they have that. Yeah. I forgot about
the
man.
The
Rockwell
that's
books.
Right. Yep. I got that coming in. The Collected Works, was that what it was?
I don't remember if it was The Collected Worlds or This Time the World.
This Time the World. No, because it was The Collected Works.
Those are the only three. I think I was on there recently looking. I think the only three books they have are The Collected Works.
It's the red book, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a red, yellow, and blue, I think.
Yeah.
The Collective Works, obviously White Power, and then...
Yeah, White Power's good.
What's the other one? God.
This Time the World.
Yeah, This Time the World. There you go. Yep.
That's amazing that they carry it, though. I'm surprised. I mean, they probably do it on purpose just to create a fucking database of people who buy it.
Yeah.
I mean, not to freak you out, but I mean, I'm just saying. But it is weird. I'm amazed that they carry that. But,
you're already on a database.
We're all on databases. We'll have to go in the whole DNA show sometime.
Speaking of which, I want to... Oh, yeah. Never mind.
What'd you say?
I want to go back.
Wait, what?
No, I was going to say there's people that I see that really don't like that kind of, and they don't trust it like you, Lanzer Boy.
I don't like the DNA bullshit, no. We did a couple shows on DNA testing.
Mine turned out pretty much how I figured it would, and one of the main reasons why I did it, I was vindicated in the results because I knew I wasn't like, I didn't have like Indian in me or some shit like that, and so it worked out for me.
I'm all fine for it working out. I look in the mirror and I'm fucking white. I get that.
Yeah,
my problem.
Yeah, too.
Yeah, I think mine will work out for me too.
But, I'm looking at a picture. You look white to me. I look in the mirror, I'm fucking white. But what I'm fucking saying is, it's not the fucking racial profiling. I'm pretty sure I'm white as shit. But what I'm saying is, I'm worried about what they do with the samples and they're done, and I can never get an answer on what they're doing with it. And then there's like a fucking rolling database for the goddamn government to come dip into your DNA. And they come by and they smear that shit wherever they want, and then all of a sudden you're a fucking child murderer.
Don't think they do that when we have our babies and they bring them to the... I was just talking to my husband about this. I said, if you think they don't chip babies or DNA swab babies...
Sure. Oh, yeah, sure.
After you have them, they got to take your baby, bring them to the nursery for an hour. We'll bring them right
That's a brilliant idea. I've never even pondered that.
Lanzer boy, they'll dumpster dive at your house and go through your garbage, bro. You know what I mean? They could get
worthless
it anyway.
Feds.
Hey, LG, DM me those books that you were the white man's Bible.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can do that. I'll do that.
I started following you on Twitter, so you just
I saw that. Yeah. Was that today or the other day?
I think the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of days ago. So if you could DM me those, that'd be great.
Yeah, those are like your classic basic, but they're not dull by any means.
Oh yeah, you'll like
it. It's just, you know, I read those books and it's just, I'm sure everyone's different, but when I was done, I was just, like you said, jaw on the floor, couldn't breathe. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, I got to get this in the hands of every family member
yes,
I know.
Yes.
But it doesn't work that way.
No, because you think everybody, and that's how the greatest story never told. Luckily, my brother, it did to him what it did to me. So I got that feeling. Yep. That you know, I was all happy, like, oh, I woke him up. But but no, I had the same feeling. Like, I have to show everybody this, and they're all gonna see it, and everything's gonna turn around. And it doesn't work that way.
Hey, but you know what? Movies are a lot easier to do because you throw a book, you know, 500
29 parts though. Some
yeah, it's long.
It's long, and some people just won't sit through 29 parts. You know, I always said I was going to get try to break it down into like my four or five favorite parts, and that kind of get the big message across. Just to
that works, you know, too. Probably.
Hey, if you can't watch all 29, watch 3, 7, and 15. You know, I don't know.
I haven't had a chance to see it.
Oh. It was originally cut to be on YouTube for like free, so the segments are like 15 minutes long.
Right.
So you like watch it, and you can watch it in smaller segments. And of course, it's been bombasted and blasted all over YouTube and being shut down. I actually had the DVD set. I made a copy of it and made some audio video files of it, and I sent the original to my dad. But now I kind of wish I held on to it. Maybe I'll order another copy. I don't know.
Well, if you find them for sale, man, let me know, because that's what I'm trying to find is...
Yeah, they have a website, dude.
Okay, and they're still selling them? Because okay, great. Oh, yeah.
And the soundtrack, too. I think they even sell the soundtrack.
Perfect. See, I'm just...
The soundtrack's beautiful.
Yeah. See, I'll end up getting that, too, if the music is good. I just...
Oh, yeah.
I'm not the burnt copy, dude. I want original. I want physical, you know? That's just me, but I didn't realize... For some reason, I'm thinking it wasn't for sale anymore, but...
Yeah, this is one of those documentaries. You want the original copy, you know, the like you said, not some burnt copy. Yeah. I can imagine it comes in a nice case and probably has a nice booklet with it. I don't know.
It's good to have because, you know, like my wife, she knows what's going on. It's just something she doesn't want weighing down on her mind, you know, but I still like to, you know, push books to her but I mean, a lot of times we don't have time to read books, but like that before you go to bed for an hour, watch one or two parts of, you know, The Greatest Story Never Told. I mean, that's a lot easier.
I also like to watch documentaries that aren't even geared towards like National Socialists. Like, hey, for example, like I watched like the Blu-ray release of like Hitler Apocalypse, which the narration is like kind of libby, obviously.
Oh, I love Hitler Apocalypse.
Yeah, okay, but the narration is really shitty, so I'll just put like music on the background and just watch the like.
And just
you know,
watch
the
it.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I gotta write this down.
And then there's Hitler in Color, which I did the same thing.
Hitler in Color is good.
Yeah.
Hitler in Color.
Oh, AHC. I don't know what you guys, we have our cable company, AHC, it's American Heroes Channel, and it's just like World War II and Hitler all day, all night, World War II Confidential. I got them all on my TV. I think I've seen them all. Someday I want to get into the weaponology of World War II, though. That's something I always said I wanted to devote a couple of years to, is studying the, you know, the tanks and just the weapons.
The Mauser rifles.
Yeah.
You know where you're going, Julia, if they ever raid your DVD player.
She'll have to come by and check out
my phone. You should see my phone. I got all these PDFs on my computer downloaded and saved.
How much time we got, brother?
We're about to wrap this bitch up. All right. Okay. I want to say thanks to Julia for stopping by. Thanks, Julia, for stopping by today. Really appreciate it. And nice to hear your voice and not just go back and forth to you on social media for a change. That was really cool.
Thanks. Thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
I want to say a big hails to everyone in the Radio Aryan Network and everyone in the Racin' Nation family. I want to say hail victory.
Hail victory.
True that. Copy that. Defeat never. Victory forever.
Hail, brother, sister.
This podcast is a general discussion of certain aspects of human and political dynamics. It does not advocate, pledge or incite any individual or group to commit unlawful acts of violence against anyone.
Bloopers! Bloopers!
That's smart. I'm a smart guy.
And with me, as always, my comrade in the trenches and my brother in fights. and my... See, it doesn't fail.
That was the last straw, and I, you know... Fuck this, had enough.
Dude, we have an armed I'm drinking LaCroix.
We have an armed citizenry. You just made the blooper reel.
Yeah, that's bad. Citizen.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Citizenry.
There you go. An armed citizenry. That's going to still sound messed up. But anyways.
Is this where I do my Boston accent? Or?
Yeah, do it.
Really? You already asked her?
You're fucking moly. Dude,
but it's got to be Irish.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're fucking wicked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't do it on the spot. I don't know.
You sound pretty Boston already to me. You're fucking moly like that.
It's getting cold in the car. How long?
Yeah, there you go. Okay, I can hear it now. The car.
Libertarianism is bullshit. That's basically, you're basically a GOP piece of crap, John McCain flag waving, and then you realize, boom, everything you've been taught is a bullshit lie. Everything you've been told is a bullshit lie.
Yep, that's great.
Democracy is a no win for whites. I've been saying that, it's not blue in the face. Nobody's listening, and that's fine. Whatever. You got Richard Spencer tweeting out every day, Trump.
Yeah, dude, it's so good. Yeah, I'll clean it up. This is going to be cleaned up.
Dude, don't be cleaning it up. Don't be fucking censoring and monitoring my ass.
No, I don't mean censoring it like
my
that.
My fucking dad. Are you serious?
I'm not going to censor anything.
No. Trust me, they say anything, I'll tell them where to get fucked. Don't worry about that. You're in our family now. We take care of our own, dude.
Oh, shit.
You want to get her out of her car? She's probably just like...
Yeah. You got to go, girl. Go on.
Get out of the car.
All right. I'm getting out of the car.
God damn mosquitoes, sons of bitches.
That worked out all right, huh?
Well, yeah. Hell yeah.
Fuck America, I'm done.